Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Well, it's time for Thanksgiving. I hope everybody's ready for it. Jim Williams in studio with Ray Mondragon of Creation Science Fellowship. Ray is an engineer, and he teaches at Schaefer Seminary here in Albuquerque. Ray, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here, especially day before Thanksgiving.
That's right. Well, talking about creation science versus evolution. And we've, in our first five times together here up over the last 4 or 5 months, we've been talking about problems with evolution.
Yep.
And today I think we're shifting gears and talking about some positive things about creation science. And Ray, I'd love for you to kind of recap for our listeners, the problem between evolution and creation. But I do want you to define a word, or define the terms for us too, because we have the, what everybody knows, the theory of evolution. And you've made the point a couple of times that it really doesn't rise to the level of science. And what's amazing about our discussions is that evolution just seems not only to not have any scientific basis whatsoever, I'm questioning why we're still teaching it in our public schools. Because the logic is, even if they don't agree with creation science, there, it ought to be intellectually honest to say there are people that believe this.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So recap that for us.
Well, I think the main reason is obviously the world is dominated by the unbeliever. Mm-hmm. We as believers are a small minority and getting smaller, it appears. So to tip your hand that there's even the possibility of another explanation, I don't think they're willing to even open that door. So they'll stick with evolution until they can come up with something better. And really, there's nothing on the horizon, anything better.
Ray, you're talking about, though, 160 plus years of evolutionary science. And you've actually quoted
quote unquote science.
That's right. And you've quoted people that are evolutionists, and their statements by their own terms really debunk the theory of evolution.
Particularly those in some of the newer sciences like microbiology, where it is very, very obvious that evolution doesn't work. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit about that today. I'd like to get into some of that. Mm-hmm. But yes, those that have studied and that are honest recognize that evolution has lots of problems. In fact, one of the evolutionists that did a lot of research in microbiology, one of the conclusions to his book, in fact, the book is called Evolution in Crisis. Mm-hmm. Now, he's not sympathetic to our viewpoint at all. Mm-hmm. He's not a Christian. He's just a evolutionist, basically.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he titles the book Evolution in Crisis because evolution really is scientifically in crisis because of the lack of evidence.
But it sounds like that's verging on some intellectual honesty.
Yeah.
He's looking at the theory book, and he's saying, hey, this doesn't add up.
I recommend the book. Now, it's technical. It's got a lot of biology, microbiology, and you have to have a little background. So a lot of it is above my head.
Mm-hmm.
But he does conclude, in fact, his concluding statement, one of them in the book, is ultimately the Darwinian theory of evolution is no more nor less than the great cosmogenic myth of the 20th century. Now, he says 20th century because it was written before our 21st century here. But that's the conclusion after he looks at all of the microbiological evidence, and that's why he titles his book.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so what is the classic, why are the two positions so diametrically opposed? That's the way I want to phrase it.
Well, one of them's false.
Well, I mean, like, for example, a lot of us, and I kind of know the answers to these, but I'm asking
right.
as though, you know,
right.
I haven't had you in the studio for, you know, 5 or 6 months. but one of the things, for example, that people are aware of is that there are some changes in species. You know, there's shorter people, there's taller people, there's heavier people, skinnier people, there's different colors of fish, there's, you know, different four-legged animals walking around. So there are variations in the species. And we do see, even in, say, a 100-year period, some changes in the species. Yeah. But what we don't see is a species actually changing or mutating into a different species.
Right, right. And in fact, I like that word that you used, variation. Now, the evolutionist will try to convince you that's, he will use the word microevolution. Mm-hmm. We talked about that, what was it?
A couple times ago.
Third time, yeah, that we met. But what he's really doing is he's drawing you in and giving you the sense that if there's microevolution, one of the things that they use to support evolution, is it makes sense that you take the big leap to macroevolution. Mm-hmm. And as you say, that has never been documented as an observation that has ever been made. In fact, nothing even close.
Right. So Ray, now I'm going to talk, I'm going to sound like I know what I'm talking about when I say the second law of thermodynamics.
That's where we left off last time.
That's where we left off last time. And, understand that's where you want to talk about a little bit more today.
Well, it kind of transitions because that is really the fatal scientific law that basically goes totally against this idea of innovation or progress or movement from less complex to more complex. That's what evolution says happens mm-hmm. on the biological level. But the second law of thermodynamics is one of the most established of all of the laws of science. It's never been observed to be contradicted. Now, you can counteract it, but it takes energy input. But it's never been seen to fail, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it's observed in lots of sciences. This is not just physics. This is not just thermodynamics, but you can see it in biology. It's the whole decay process. Mm-hmm. You can see it in astrophysics. You can see it every science, virtually, you can observe the second law of thermodynamics. So it's well established. And that law basically goes totally against evolution.
Right.
And the transition is if it goes against evolution, then obviously it supports the idea of the biblical worldview. Maybe not directly creation, but the Bible talks in Genesis 1 that when God created, he created a very good creation. Mm-hmm. And no one would dispute today that we are not living in a very good creation. Mm-hmm. There's tornadoes, there's hurricanes, you can go down the list, earthquakes, volcanoes, etc. Mm-hmm. So what happened? Now, the secularist has no explanation for that, but in fact, I think Genesis 3 explains it. Paul in the New Testament in Romans 8 gives his commentary on it and basically talks about God imposing. Now, he doesn't use the second law of thermodynamics, but he describes it mm-hmm. in Romans 8. So the second law basically supports the biblical worldview that speaks of God as creator and something going badly wrong with the creation.
The second law of thermodynamics, one of the topics we're going to cover today with Ray Mondragon. He is part of the Creation Science Fellowship here in Albuquerque. They meet the third Tuesday of every month at Faith Bible Church. It's a totally free meeting. They meet at 9600 Central Southeast. Everybody's invited, any age, and any level of interest. It's, sounds like a fun time, Ray, and I've been promising I'm going to get out there. So January, I'm coming out. Because this is so interesting to me. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. More with Ray right after these messages.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. Has God shown you that there are things in your life that need to be changed and fixed? Generally speaking, we all have these things in our lives in one shape or another. The difference is if we take care of them right away or not. In the automotive repair world, I've seen this over and over. Catastrophic failures due to people not fixing small issues with their vehicle right away. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we take care of all your vehicle's repair and maintenance needs. We are ASC Master Certified and AAA approved. We are located in Rio Rancho on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And we have free towing to our facility for repairs. Just ask for details. And with those things God has shown you that you need to change and fix, Please don't put it off and let these small issues in your life become catastrophic failures. Jesus stands beside you ready to fix all that is broken in you if you will just simply ask him to do so. And he's already paid the price for the repair. Jericho.
Yo, New Mexico, it's Rick from Jericho. Jericho has doubled our greenhouse space, adding more parking and several new lines, including so much Southwest art and decor, you'll have to come more than once to take it all in. And still excelling at being your full-service garden center with trees, shrubs, bedding plants, landscape design, and planting surfaces. So come let our friendly, willing, and able, knowledgeable staff serve you. So thanks again from your gardening angels at Jericho. All your yard and garden needs. JerichoNursery.com. Hoorah!
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. We do things differently over here on the affordable side of Albuquerque. We give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part, every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and complimentary maintenance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us from the Power Ford Studios, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford. Jim Williams in studio with Ray Mondragone, Creation Science Fellowship. Ray, in our last interview, some of our listeners may not have tuned into that. So why don't you review for us? We're going to talk just a little bit more about the weaknesses in evolution. And review our last interview, and then we're going to spend the second half up to the top of the hour talking about the strengths and the things that support creation science.
Sounds good. Well, let me even go further back. We started our weakness of evolution with the mechanism, and that's really important because if there's no mechanism for evolution, then it's impossible to have evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And the mechanism, in other words, the thing or the phenomenon that makes evolution work, according to the evolutionist,
kind of the process, right?
Would be mutations.
Mm-hmm.
And mutations are basically mistakes in the DNA molecule that is passed on to or created within the organism and sometimes passed on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we looked at 160 years of research by evolutionists in that area of mutations. And if you remember, we talked about seven results of 160 years of research, and every one of those results were negative in terms of mutations. So no possibility that mutations can be a mechanism for evolution.
And
so basically, there's no mechanism.
And so one of those, one of the six I remember distinctly because I tease about it, is that mutations have to happen in an order.
Right.
And they don't happen in an order. They don't progress systematically. So,
nope.
For example, there's a species of fish swimming in the ocean. Somehow a mutation happens and it grows an appendage. Let's just call it a leg. Well, for that fish to walk out of the water, it has to have two legs.
Right.
And it also has to have lungs. And of course, for it to develop at some time in the next 8 zillion years or the next 10,000, whatever number you want to put to it, for it to become an NFL football player, a lot of stuff have to progress in a specific order.
Exactly.
And that's not going to happen.
The very opposite is the case.
Yes.
And there were six others that we looked at, but basically mutations are, you could look at them as, in fact, one of the evolutionists said that you can consider them all bad. 99% of them are bad.
Right.
So there's no mechanism. So then we spent some time. And
when you say bad, that means if a mutation happens in a living organism, typically it is to the detriment of the organism.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. And we also talked about mutations being pathological. Mm. In other words, a lot of diseases are traced directly to mutations.
Right.
Then we gave a series of evidence that they supply, that they say, the evolutionists say, that supports their theory. And I tried to demonstrate that all of that was superficial evidence that had far better explanation from a creationist viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And then last time we focused on some of the evidence that basically destroys evolution. The evolutionist used to depend on the fossil record, but those that know the fossil record, actually it also goes against evolution and, in fact, shows evidence for sudden appearance of very complex life form, which suggests creation rather than evolution. And then we concluded by looking at the second law of thermodynamics, a well-known established law that goes totally contrary, because evolution requires a principle of innovation, a principle of progress, something that brings disorder from disorder to order, and that just does not exist anywhere in the universe. The very opposite exists. That's the second law. In other words, it's the idea of movement from organization to disorganization, to put it in a simple way.
And an evolutionist believe that the opposite happens, that you move from disorganization to organization.
Yes. And the second law of thermodynamics, one of the most well-established laws, basically says that's impossible. In fact, the opposite is the case.
Oftentimes when I'm asking you questions, I say, well, is it 10 billion years or 10,000 years? Because there's a big debate about how old the Earth is. And I do that because, to me, I don't really care how old the Earth is, because there is no time frame in which any of this can happen.
No.
Accidentally.
No.
But, Ray,
time.
Is there any actually research that you would say supports the age of the Earth?
Well, you're jumping way ahead.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the age of the Earth. Yeah. That's one of the main issues. Remember, we laid out the three major issues where we as believers have a conflict.
Yes.
Not with science, because I think science supports a biblical worldview, but we have a conflict with the interpretation of the data, and particularly ancient historical events and the data surrounding that.
Tell me where we're going today.
Well, today we're going to focus on positive evidence that supports the idea of at least an intelligent designer, at least.
Okay.
And then if you're a believer, that intelligent designer has to have all of the attributes of the person that's described in the Bible that we call God.
Right.
So that's what I'd like to look at. We won't go through a lot of it today, but I'd like to at least get a start. And then the next time we meet, if we do, Lord willing, we'll look at some other areas. But that's where I'd like to go.
It's always fascinating to me how fast this discussion goes.
Yep.
Because you're very methodical. And you go through each point by point, but, you know, we're doing 8-10 minute segments and they just get eaten up that. And I look at the sheet of topics that we're going to discuss and we usually get about halfway through it.
Right.
And so there's a lot more to talk about. So we've got a lot more to talk about with Ray Mondragon this afternoon. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Lisa, the owner of Betty's Bath and Day Spa at 12th and Candelaria in Albuquerque. I highly recommend Advanced On-Site Protection Security. We're part of their Security On Demand program. They respond quickly when we need them with professionally trained security officers. And the great thing is we only pay for security when we need it.
Call Advanced On-Site Protection Security for security on demand. 505-897-1307. That's 505-897-1307.
Hey, I need to get in shape. I'm tired of the way I feel.
Then Designer Body's world-class gym is for you. They are family-owned and operated, and their passion is to lead by example while empowering you to achieve your absolute personal best. The professionals at Designer Body's world-class gym offer gym memberships, personal training, and nutrition management in an atmosphere of fitness, faith, and fellowship. For more information, call 899-1700. That's 899-1700. Or visit us at our website, www.designerbodies.com.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving Christian home environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard for their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to the family member or the state. Our goal is to always show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the ACCH staff. For more information, go to our website at acch4kids.org or call 898-5520.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a safe, loving home for children who have had so little and need so much. We feed, clothe, house, and share God's love with the children who have been missing those necessities in their young lives. There's no charge for the care at ACCH, and children can stay with us as long as they need our help. You can help by making a secured, tax-deductible donation today at acchkids.org or by calling 898-5520. And thank you for blessing the children.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Ray Mondragon with Creation Science Fellowship, a professor at Chafer Seminary in Albuquerque, and he is an engineer, is in studio with us. Ray is always sharing very graciously all this good stuff you know about creation science, and he just assured me off air that there will definitely be basketball in heaven. And I know Andrew is happy about that, as I am. Thanks, Ray. I appreciate that.
And I also assured you that I was going to dunk the ball over you.
I left that part out.
Why didn't you mention that?
Hey, it won't be the first time I've been dunked on, Ray. Trust me.
Well, I'm only 5'7", but...
That's all right. That's all right. I can tell you I've had my share of people dunking on me, and I've even had the humiliation of being hit in the forehead with the ball as it went through the basket. So
trust me,
that is not an unfamiliar place for me to be. As humbling as it was still one of the most fun things I've ever done in my life, you know? It's good stuff. So, Ray, second law of thermodynamics, boy, I'm not saying that well, but that is really a scientific proven theory that something that is orderly, like an organism, decays over time.
It's a law. It's a law of science.
And, you know, dunking actually has something to do with that.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, once you get to a certain age...
You can't dunk
anymore. You can just see those knees are going, right?
Excellent illustration of the second law. That's the idea of everything is tending to unwind. Everything is decaying. Mm-hmm. Now, you could state it scientifically, and I've got some quotes here. I probably won't necessarily...
Right.
Or bore your audience with them that come right out of textbooks.
Well, I want to go off script for just a second because I'm thinking about an embryo. I'm thinking about it being fertilized, being, you know, placed in the womb and growing. And that all happens in a real specific order. But we know from science that that's all kind of dictated by this DNA molecule that kind of organizes the whole thing, right?
Right, right. And in fact, life does counteract the second law of thermodynamics. But then as we get older, and in fact, immediately, even as cells begin to reproduce, even in the womb, some of those cells die.
Right.
And that death is as a result of the second law biologically. And then obviously we peak out and then we rapidly begin to decay. So biology, God has built in to that DNA molecule, and we're going to talk about that maybe not today, but God has built in to that. It's like a software program that runs life, essentially.
And, you know, we didn't know about, and no scientist knew about DNA 40 years ago, right? Is it fairly new?
Well,
just beginning.
It's been around a few decades.
So they just began to know the science, but now they understand that it's very complex. It's
very
almost
complex.
Self-correcting.
Yes.
And that all speaks of a creator too.
Right.
I mean, it's just amazing. And the likelihood of a one-celled organism has DNA, right?
Every living
thing has DNA.
Whether one-celled or mankind, every cell has DNA.
And it's very impossible for that cell or that organism to just become another species.
Right.
Because that's not what the DNA is going to allow it to do.
Exactly. It's built in.
Right.
In fact, you're jumping ahead. We can talk about
that
if you want to.
I want to go in the order, but I just get excited about all the stuff you're going to share. And I know that our listeners, I'm going to encourage you to get a pad because what Ray does is he'll bring up probably 10 things today that you want to get a hold of. You can go to abqconnect.online after the show today, and you can listen to all the episodes we've had with Ray. And then I have actually posted on a number of those podcasts links that Creation Science Fellowship has provided us that provide even more information. And then we want to remind everybody that the third Tuesday of every month, Creation Science Fellowship meets at Central and Moon, 9600 Central Southeast in Albuquerque, totally free. They want you to come and join them and have a discussion and hear a presentation. And Ray, who are some of the other folks that are presenters at that fellowship?
Well, there's a few guests that we invite, not from Albuquerque. Terry Harden has given talks. Jerry Coriel is one of the men that have done some talking. In the past, we had people, world-class scientists like Russ Humphreys and John Baumgartner, who Russ worked and, in fact, retired from Sandia National Laboratories, and he's a world-class scientist. He's retired now, but he still does research. And we've had like John Baumgartner, who is known basically worldwide. He's also a world-class scientist. They were the founders, and when they were working, Baumgartner at Los Alamos National Labs, regularly they gave talks at our group. So we will pull people occasionally from different places like that, but most of them are local. The last one is the one I gave. That was last Tuesday. Now, also, this coming December, we generally don't have one because the third Tuesday is so close to Christmas.
Gotcha. So January.
January will be the third week of January.
Okay. Ray, the thing that I've been most impressed about is that you've simplified this for us. For example, when you talk about the mechanism for evolution to occur has to involve mutations. And there's seven things that have to happen with mutations in order for
it to work.
Well, and none of those mechanisms work, or none of the subcategories of mutations.
Well, no. What I tried to explain is seven categories of research.
Research, okay.
That undermines the concept of mutations. So it's just basically wiping it out as a mechanism. So there's really no mechanism.
Okay, so for one final time, just so our listeners have a groundwork for the rest of today, the second law of thermodynamics is the concept that a living organism is going to decay. Everything is in decay.
The universe is unwinding.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, planets, solar systems,
everything.
The whole deal.
Right.
And that's really not debated by any level of science.
No, it is one of the most universally accepted laws of science. Just like gravity. I mean, gravity, nobody disputes it. You see it every day. Second law, you actually see it every day as well. You may not be conscious of it, but as your car runs down, your wife has to clean the house, you know, it always tends toward getting dirty and disorganized. It never cleans itself. Mm. Your car never fixes itself. So you see it every day.
Right.
And like I said, it's a universally accepted law that affects virtually every science.
It sounds like my golf game, Ray.
Yep.
An eternal decay.
Absolutely.
Yep. Ray, where are we going today?
Well, let me just kind of review real quickly some of this second law, and then we'll move into a whole area that we could spend hours and hours on, but we want to just give a taste to your listening audience and then refer them to some of the websites and that sort of thing.
Sounds good.
In fact, most of what I'm doing here with you, I've got on my website in more detail.
Give us that website right now.
For His Glory, NM. And I've got a tab that's Creation Science. And the first one is the same title as we're using in this series.
So is that the number four?
No. Okay. F-O-R, His Glory, NM.com.
His Glory, NM.com. And people, and I'll make sure this is up on the blog site too, which is abqconnect.online.
Yeah, and they can listen to that first one under the Creation Science, and I go into a lot more detail on
right. And if you go to abqconnect.online, you can go to the search button and put just Ray, And all of our episodes with Ray will be right there in front of you. And so if you'd like to listen to them in order,
right,
it's pretty informative and I think very easy to understand. There's a lot. I like what you do, Ray, because I can get two or three points that really reinforce my faith, encourage me. And, you know, I have had some people that were obviously smarter than me. This 99% of the population qualifies there. But there are people that want to impress you with their scientific knowledge and their, you know, cellular biology and geology and all the other sciences that are out there. And they want to throw, you know, they put out these statements, which when you really listen to what they're saying and you realize that they have no validity at all.
Right.
So we're going to take a quick break. You're going to then summarize a little bit about the second law of thermodynamics, and we're going to move into the positive things about creation science. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We will be right back.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses, who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We're in studio with Elaine Ramos from Ramos Real Estate. Elaine, thanks so much for joining us again today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me, Steve.
One of the things we want to touch on today is credit scores. Everyone's an expert, it seems, and I'm sure you have plenty of folks show up in your office, and they've probably predetermined whether or not they're at one score or another and how to take care of it. But the truth is there's so much that you've learned in the years you've done this,
definitely,
that it really benefit them to come talk to you.
That's right, especially with the new abilities to check your credit scores online. Unfortunately, a lot of people use that to determine whether or not they can qualify for a home, but that information is incorrect. And often they'll come with credit score and be concerned they can't get a home, but often that is incorrect. And sometimes, and it's always higher. So definitely we want them to come in and get that checked.
Okay, so say you have a decent score, but you're looking for the best loan at the best rate, and you find yourself just a few points away from getting into the next better rate or better package. What do you do at that point?
So there's a program called Rapid Rescore that Eleanor Hutt of Waterstone Mortgage offers, and I'll let Eleanor tell you about it.
Hi, guys. Thank you for allowing me to be here and share some of the tools that we offer that will help you get your credit score raised. I've seen them go up as high as, you know, 10 points to 80 points. So it just depends where you're at, and that's why it's very important to speak with a professional that can tell you exactly where you stand.
And it could be changed in just a matter of days.
Correct. It the normal way to get your scores up, you could take up to 2 to 3, 4 months going through a credit repair company, whereas the Rapid Rescore is a matter of days.
Wow. Elaine, if folks want to find out more about this, I know you've got an easy way for them to catch up with you.
You bet. If they can call me at 505-379-6845 or at my website at RamosRealEstateNM.com.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Lots of great information can be found at ForHisGloryNM.com. That is Ray Mondragon's website. Ray's been studying creation science for how many years, Ray?
Since last century.
Last century? Now you're only what, 30 years old?
39.
Well, I'm a little older than that, but I definitely know the second law of thermodynamics applies to me.
Well, that's good. You learned something, right?
Yeah, that's right. So summarize a little bit more about the theory.
Okay, and then we'll move on to a very exciting area, I think, in creation science.
Great.
Let me read a quote, and I got this out of my physics textbook at UNM. And the reason I like to use this is because even though it's from a physics text, it's not highly technical, and I think most people can understand at least the second half of it. Mm-hmm. In fact, I started quoting it last time, and I didn't really get to the good part because we ran out of time.
Okay.
But anyway, the book is Sears and Szymanski, a physics text. It says, thus heat, and he's trying to describe to the student to understand what the law is all about. Thus heat always flows spontaneously from a hotter to a colder body, gases always seep through an opening spontaneously from a region of high pressure to a region of low pressure. Gases and liquids left by themselves always tend to mix. Mm-hmm. Now, we can identify with that one. I mean, you can see it. Things mix. And then he says, not unmix. And then now he describes it in more visual ways that we can all identify. So the quote goes on, rocks weather and crumble. They don't come back together. Mm-hmm. Iron rusts. People grow old. You've been describing that for a while. These are all examples of irreversible processes that take place naturally in only one direction. And that's the point. The opposite of evolution, only in one direction. They don't go the other way. Mm-hmm. And then he concludes, and by their one-sidedness express the second law of thermodynamics. So I like that because it's visual. You can imagine it.
Sure.
And you can relate to it. Some of it, maybe the beginning.
You know, I was doing a little research about buying new windows for my home. And the second law of thermodynamics, unknown to me, was stated in exactly what you just described. Heat always travels from hot to cold.
Yep.
So if you've got an aluminum frame window like we had in homes 30 years ago, and it's warm in your house, the heat is automatically going to go through the metal outside to the cold,
right.
Automatically.
Right.
And in the summer, it's going to go the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. You have cool in the house, heat outside, the heat's going to come right in. Through the metal into the house.
Right.
So the windows are designed now with thermal breaks,
right.
So that can't happen.
Counteract.
That's right.
Counteract.
Pretty simple stuff. Mm-hmm.
So it's irreversible.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tendency to unwind. It's a tendency towards disorganization. Biologically and in other areas, it's the law of decay. And the reason this is important is because it describes what's happening not only in nature, but it goes along with a bigger plan or the biblical worldview. And you can find statements of it throughout Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
One of the clearest ones is Romans 8, verses 20 through 23.
Okay.
Very clear statement. In fact, I just completed expounding that passage in a class that I teach on Sunday mornings. And I taught it from the scientific perspective, bringing out these issues.
Do you have that verse for us now, Ray?
Romans 8. 20 through 23, or actually you could start in 18, but the heart of it is 20 through 23.
Okay. You want me to read that?
If you want
for our listeners?
Okay. I wasn't intending to, but
for go ahead. This is Romans 8:20. For the creation was subjected to futility.
Let me stop you. The creation, he's talking about the natural realm here.
Okay.
Now the broader context, he's dealing with suffering and he's giving us hope that this universally accepted law in the future is going to be taken away.
Ah.
But before he describes that, he has to explain it, and he's given a commentary on Genesis chapter 3.
Okay.
Go ahead and read.
So for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it.
Now notice a couple of things there, and I bring out a lot of other things in that passage.
Mm-hmm.
We have an outside agent acting on that creation.
Mm-hmm.
And the text is specific. It's God himself.
Yes.
And what he's referring to is God imposing the curse upon the creation. And it affected zoology. It affected mankind. It affected physics. It affected geophysics. If you read the Genesis text, all of those sciences are alluded to, or at least spoken of, not using scientific terms, but the entire creation was in fact subjected. And the interesting thing in the Greek text, the word subjected, the verb is in what's called the aorist tense.
Mm-hmm.
The aorist tense is used to describe a past event that occurred at a point in time. That's kind of the simplest way to describe it. It has other uses, but that's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's describing a historical event, The fall of mankind and the following judgment of God was a historical event that I believe initiated the second law of thermodynamics.
So let me go back to Romans 8:20. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it.
Him?
That's God.
It's capitalized. God yes. himself.
In hope that the creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God.
There's several things in there. Notice set free. In other words, this law is going to, in the future, is going to be done away with. And now we don't have time to get into the
details.
And
that's the new heaven and the new earth. And
it's actually, I think it starts at the rapture.
Okay.
I think it starts with resurrection.
And which then, is a whole different subject, so
yeah.
we're going to stay away from it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to read verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but we are ourselves having the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoptions as sons.
That's resurrection.
The redemption of our body.
Yeah, so, that's the ultimate rejection of our body. We've rejected, we've received the redemption of our spirits and souls in Christ Jesus. But we're not complete. We still await new bodies, resurrection bodies. And I think the believer receives it at the rapture. And there's effects in the millennial kingdom that Isaiah describes and several other passages describe concerning changes, the lion lying down with the lamb. You wouldn't do that today unless you had a pet lion and needed to feed your lion.
Well, I'm keeping some notes because these are just more topics that we're going to discuss in coming episodes. So tell us where we want to start supporting. Start talking about evidence that supports creation.
Okay, let's do that. So that
yes.
is a good look at second law. I didn't intend to get to Romans 8, but there's other passages, by the way, for your audience. Isaiah 51:6, where it talks about the heavens wearing out like a garment. That's the second law.
Okay.
And there's several Old Testament passages that God's going to wrap up everything like a curtain. You know, those passages. They're allusions to this second law. Okay, let's move on. What I'd like to look at is one of the main evidence for something other than evolution is what we could describe as there's evidence of design everywhere in the universe. Not just in biology, but we see evidence of design. If you look out into the heavens, you see that planets follow certain patterns and rotations and certain characteristics that seem to be built in, and they all work together in certain ways. So this whole concept of design is this concept that supports an intelligent designer.
Right.
And when you get it down to the biological level, one of the things that you'll notice, particularly from microbiology, that cells, even a single cell, is extremely complex.
Yes.
There's no such thing as simple life form. Does not exist. Far from it.
So, Ray, we're going to take another break. But as you're saying that, I'm thinking about, okay, a one-celled organism like a paramecium and a watch. You know, a Casio G-Shock watch that you can't break, or the old Timex commercials, like it just keeps ticking, you know, takes a licking and keeps ticking. I'm dating myself by remembering those commercials. But more with Ray Mondragon. Stay with us. We're going to be back to talk more about the support for creation science. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Ben Lucero, president and owner of Indigo Mortgage, and we are your true locally owned and operated VA mortgage broker. As a broker, we have helped many veterans get into homes with little or no money out of pocket. This is done by lender credits. It works like this. Our rate is consistently 0.25% to 0.75% lower than other lenders in New Mexico. If we just match the rate of other lenders, we won't keep the profit on the higher rate. We turn that money over to the veteran. These lender credits can save the veteran thousands of dollars in closing costs. There is no reason lenders should be charging such high rates on VA loans. So I encourage all veterans looking to purchase or refinance to shop that mortgage around. Don't take a higher rate if you don't need to. And if you do, let us pay your closing costs. Call Indigo Mortgage at 836-5700. That's 836-5700 or on the net at indigomortgage.net. NMLS 1-8-8-3-4.
Some combinations were just meant to go together. Burger and fries. Washer and dryer. At State Farm, there's another combination meant to go together, home and auto, as in combining your home and auto insurance with one agent, which leads to another combination, saving dollars and cents. Your State Farm agent is here to help life go right. Combine home and auto and see how much you can save. Call State Farm agent Jesse Dompre in Albuquerque today.
Ladies of Calvary, get ready for the annual Winter Gala and Lovely Market. Join Sheology Women's Ministry for Feliz Navidad with inspiring speaker, author, and mentor Debbie Alsdorf on Tuesday, December 3rd. The Lovely Market will be open at 3 p.m., so come early and take care of your Christmas shopping. Tickets must be purchased in advance and are available online at calvarynm.church. Come with expectant hearts for a fun-filled evening. We look forward to celebrating the season of Jesus' birth with you.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Ray Mondragon, Creation Science Fellowship, giving us some evidence that supports creation science. And we just started talking about a single-celled organism not being simple, still very complicated.
Very complex. Now, in Darwin's day, because they could not see a single cell, they assumed or thought that a cell was very, very simple. It's just simply a blob of protoplasm or something surrounding a nucleus. But microbiology has discovered, and this is within the last 50 years, that one single cell is extremely complex. In fact, Michael Behe, he's an intelligent design or proponent, in fact, one of the founders of the whole movement. He wrote a book, Darwin's Black Box, and he gives it the title, Darwin's Black Box, using the analogy like today. Now, he wrote the book when television sets were not flat screen. It was a big box, and all Darwin could see was this, the external of this black box. And he couldn't see all of the electronic components and the circuits and the tubes and everything else that made up a television set, all of the electronics, et cetera. So he titles the book that. But now his book is designed to look into that black box. And what you find is the intricacies and the detail that demands a designer. And he sees within a single cell multitudes of molecules that are more machines than just simple molecules. In fact, extremely complex. And each of these machines, in fact, he describes them as machines, they're irreducibly complex. And what he means by that, in fact, I've got a quote by him. He says, by irreducible complexity, I mean a single system composed of several well-matched interacting parts that contribute to the basic function, wherein the removal of any one of the parts causes the system to effectively cease functioning. And he says there's multitudes of these within one single cell. Lots of machines. You take one little part out of it, and it doesn't work anymore. He uses the example of a mousetrap. A simple mousetrap has five parts to it. It has a base, it has a holding bar, it has a spring, it has a hammer, and a catch. Only five parts. Take any one of those out, it ceases to function.
Take one of those parts out and it'll hurt your finger really bad.
Well, it doesn't function. That's the illustration. And that's so simple in comparison to the machines that he describes in his book, Darwin's Black Box. In fact, he says the cumulative result shows with piercing clarity that life is based on machines made of molecules. Now, that supports the idea of design, because obviously machines that we are familiar with, you know, even like you use the illustration of a watch, the idea of a watch requires a watchmaker. And everywhere you look, you see evidence whenever you see a machine, you have to have a designer and a manufacturer. And the same has to be with life itself.
Here's an interesting thing. I have one of our listeners and one of my friends, Linda, sending me information, you know, as I'm postulating, when was DNA discovered?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, and I'm going to verify this, Miss Linda, when I get off the air, but she says that DNA was discovered in 1953.
That sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. She said that Watson and Crick, two scientists, won a Nobel Prize for their work in their discovery of its molecular configuration through a technique called X-ray diffraction, which, of course, this is all over my head, but it's fascinating to know that, you know, basically in our lifetime, this has been discovered.
Yeah.
And things that are discussed about evolution and Darwinian theory and everything, they didn't have access to the science. So I'm happy on one hand that today's contemporary scientists are at least debunking these theories that have been long taught as true. But they're still not willing to say, hey, there's another few theories out there.
Mm-hmm.
And as you've said too, Ray, and you might, I know this is off script, but there are other theories of creation that are not necessarily creation science. Well, I think you told us some alternative theories.
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
And I'll have to.
In other words, how life came about?
Yes.
In other words, oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, an alternative theory is it had to have come from outer space, from off the planet, because there's nothing on the planet that gives a good explanation for life. So that's another one, but that's way far out.
Yeah.
In other words, there's no evidence for that at all.
Some Martians came down and dropped off a few babies or
seeded our planet with life, and then life took off.
Wow.
Yeah, but most of those are very far out.
Well, it's fascinating to me to just have a discussion about what people have talked about, because it seems like if you're going to really review the available information, you're obviously going to throw out everything that has no basis in science.
Mm-hmm.
And you've pretty clearly done that with evolution.
Right.
How about the DNA molecule?
Well, the DNA molecule is like a software program. In fact, it is more sophisticated than software programs that run our computers. And it basically runs all of the functioning and specifies all the information that is needed for the functioning of every single cell.
Now, Ray, I know some programmers that are going to view what you just said as a challenge to come up with the most complicated programming stuff possible. So you may have just sparked a whole new thing.
Well, I hope. Hope people are thinking.
Yeah.
Well, here's a quote by that same author. I don't know if I mentioned his name, but his name is Michael Denton, the one that wrote that book that I referred to.
Mm-hmm.
He also has in that book, he says, my molecular biology has shown that even the simplest of all living systems on Earth today, bacterial cells, like the one you referred to, he goes on, are exceedingly complex objects, far more complicated than anything built by man. So what he's saying, the computer that you use over there, the computer that I use, one single cell is more complex than either one of them.
More with Ray Mondragon. Stay with us. We have one final segment. We'll be right back after these messages.
When you think of Thanksgiving, you think of family. Duke City Ready Mix core values are quality, service, community. A strong community comes from strong families. We hope and pray the time you spend with family this Thanksgiving is precious. Happy Thanksgiving from Duke City Ready Mix.
Celebrate the true meaning of Christmas with the 35th anniversary production of Christmas Joy, December 14th and 15th. Tickets at nhccnm.org. A holiday tradition, dancers will inspire audiences to experience the greatest gift, the birth of our Savior. Experience the miracle. Don't miss Christmas Joy at the National Hispanic Cultural Center, December 14th and 15th. Tickets available now at nhccnm.org. Celebrate the reason for the season, Christmas Joy.
This is Buck Buckner, owner of the Raintone Car Spa, with four Albuquerque locations, including our newest at Sevilla and Coors. From my family and the entire Car Spa staff, we wish you and your family the happiest Thanksgiving. We are so grateful for all of you.
KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Ray Mondragon, Creation Science Fellowship in studio. He is also a teacher with Chafer Seminary here in Albuquerque and an engineer. And not really engineering anymore, but thinking about God's engineering and how he put all this together. And Ray, you study this. Why?
Well, to encourage the believer to basically to give him confidence that what the Bible teaches is truth, is not only inspired, but even inerrant. I believe in inerrancy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the motivation.
You're also aware, having been a graduate of college and advanced degrees, that people that don't believe in a creator, in God, are going to argue that that's a bunch of bunk, right?
Right. So we need to, like Peter instructs us, to be able to give an answer for the hope that is in us. And the answer, obviously, is Jesus Christ, but if people don't believe the Bible, then they basically disregard him. So some people need that obstacle cleared to have confidence that what God says in his word is, in fact, not only inspired, but inerrant.
It sounds like to me, Ray, that in Darwin's day, they may have looked at a human being and know the complexity of that human being just because of the organs and all that. But mm-hmm. they never really broke down. They look at a single cell and they thought, oh, that's much more simple.
Right.
Not having the technology to actually know what that cell was made up of. So smaller is not necessarily less complicated.
Oh, no, it's more complex. Mm. And at that microbiological level that you can't even see. So, yeah, everything just screams out. You have to have intelligent design and a designer that put all this together, particularly a single cell. And then from there, we can discuss how everything just goes by magnitudes more complex.
And tell us where we're going, because we're going to have you back here in like 3 weeks, and tell us where we'll be in the next program.
Well, one of the things I'd like to deal with is go into more detail on the DNA molecule, because there's some interesting things there that point to intelligent design. And we could spend lots of time looking at any given creature, because every creature has characteristics that make it very unique from every other creature, debunking again evolution and arguing for individual creative acts of God. In other words, God individually building in every creature. And there's lots of examples we could look at. We could also talk about what's called the anthropocentric principle. And the essence of that is the earth is a very special place, and scientists are recognizing that. Everything on the planet points towards life. In other words, it seems to have been designed for life.
Mm-hmm.
So we could look at it. There's evidence from cause and effect. So we could talk about the laws of science relating to cause and effect. And there's other less prominent laws of science that support the idea of God as creator and at least an intelligent designer.
We also have the technology to look at planets that don't sustain life now. So I'm imagining that helps scientists here on Earth contrast that with everything about Earth and how amazing it is to support life.
In fact, that's a motivation for many astrophysicists. They're searching for an Earth-like planet somewhere. They're always looking for water because that's essential. And then they're looking for life. For example, some of the probes of Mars, people are looking and evaluating, hoping to find life.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of support the idea that life can come about by natural means somehow.
Right.
So, yeah, that's a motivation. But everything that they've found so far is basically the opposite, that planet Earth is very, very unique.
Ray, I this is totally off subject, but I'm just thinking about it because I know how many times people think about the Earth spinning around and we don't fly off of it. Has gravity ever been explained?
No.
It's got to be a God thing, right?
Absolutely.
Ray Mondragon, Creation Science Fellowship. Thanks again, my friend. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
And we'll
see you.
This is fun.
We'll see you in about 3 weeks.
Great. We'll set something up for December.
Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.